Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Yo, what's happening, Rush Nation? It's week 8 now. I don't know. COVID has taken a real toll on my internal and external body clock. I've lost my watch. My body clock no longer knows what time of the week it is, but I know for a fact it is a Tuesday, which means only one thing. Murph and I are back. Sadly, still not in the studio, but Zoom is almost as good because there's no travel time. It will never replace the 5 Yard studio, but the less travel is pretty good, right, Big Man? How you doing?
I wonder how many hours I've saved by not traveling this year.
Oh, many.
So in context, to those of you who haven't listened to my travel woes in the past, I traveled on average 3 and a bit hours a day, 5 days a week. So round that up, 16 hours a week. So that's 32, 64 hours a month. You times that by 7 months of not being in the office now.
But so I think the question with that
450 hours or so I've saved.
Are you working those travel hours instead of traveling them?
Sometimes.
So it's not as if you've saved them. They're not now hours for you.
Yeah, but sometimes it's like breakfast with the boy. There's things that I can do now that I haven't been able to do. I maybe work a bit like later, but like during the mornings and stuff, I'm with the boy and stuff. So that helps. So I've had a lot more time with him as a result and things like that. So,
and you no doubt saved a few pennies from the travel costs of getting up to the Big Smoke.
Yeah, so I've probably saved about $2,000.
Well, there you go. That's a silver lining in itself.
Yeah, but then being at home is more expensive. This sounds really boring. this sounds ridiculous. Like,
Being engaging in the first couple of minutes of your podcast, and we've just...
Lockdown chat is just boring now. No one cares.
Yeah, it's true.
Everyone's in the same boat.
Everyone is still doing it, so it's common ground.
Yeah, it is. Less travel time, more money spent in some regards. So, but yeah. It's good to be on. It's Tuesday. Week seven. Lots of injuries, bye weeks and things. This is like the nitty gritty now. These are the key moments of the season now, because if you can get through the next 3 or 4 weeks with a chance to make the playoffs, then you know you're in good stead. I'm in one league where I'm in a clinching scenario of a playoff spot next week, which would be nice to clinch that nice and early.
Yeah, that would be good. I mean, this is definitely the season where you've only just got to, as much as most seasons, I'll get to the dance, see what happens, anyone's in with a shout. It is literally, if you make it past the initial finish line of getting to the playoffs, it is anybody's game. It really is, because on a week-to-week, even day-to-day basis, now we're seeing with the NFL, it changes so swiftly that if you can get into the playoffs. And week seven for me was, I didn't realize how much you and I were playing each other in across the leagues. I didn't realize we were in that many competing leagues, to be fair. And then,
We played in a lot.
We did. And then normally you are my fantasy kryptonite. You end up beating me all over the place. But this week I held my own quite often throughout the matchups. And I think that was key for me getting to the playoffs, was scraping you in a few places to enable me to actually get there rather than you whitewashing me off the face of the earth.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because there was a few leagues that we faced in. The Epsom Home League, which, you know, I dented your playoff hopes a little bit in advance to the top of the standings. The Home Dynasty League, which, you know, my team's about 7 years from competing, so...
that gets longer every time we talk about it.
Well, I'm 2-5, mate. So, yeah, of course, you're 7-0. So, I think the fact I only lost by, like, 30 is a result. And then we played in another Dynasty League, which I think you came out on top of. And we both moved to 4-3. You smoked me in one. And then we had a couple... we played in both Vampires and we split them. So I think we played in another league as well. Yeah, we just played in a lot of leagues. So
we did.
I think we sort of pushed and we were about the same. But
which yeah, I considered a win. A push against you is a win, you know, for me. So I enjoyed those pushes. At one point, I thought I was going to lose both Vampires, and it wasn't for the Rams being pretty, your lineup of Rams selection in the Vampire just seeing me over the line.
Well, no, let's get this right, okay? Because in that Vampire League, you did beat me in, and like, congratulations on winning and There's no sour grapes at all, but you know, you put up the third lowest score of the week.
Yep, I had a terrible week.
You know, my team on that Vampire League, keep in mind I'm not allowed to make any roster changes. Cam Akers didn't get a touch. Mike Evans got a couple of touches, but not a lot. Robbie Woods got a lot of touches. Higbee didn't play. I've had no kicker since week one. And then I've got like Eckler on IR, Dobbins on bye, Hilton on bye, Ravens on bye. Yeah, Ian Thomas was my only bench player other than Daniel Jones. Jacobs had the Bucks. Like, you picked the best week to play me because, yeah, but it is what it is. I'm not too worried going forward.
I was pleased to get a win in that one. But hey, yeah. Talking of getting a win, we are almost at 6,000 followers on the Twitterverse, Murph.
Yeah, last time I checked, we were about 10 to go, and we're still at about 10 to go. 10, exactly. 5,990 followers.
That's pretty good going, considering we had about 15 for a long time, or felt like a long time, and it was probably just the people we knew directly, and then you came aboard, and the boat left dock, as it were. I don't know, maybe I'm doing Sparky harsh there. 15, maybe a few more than 15.
I think it was like 150, 200 maybe. But yeah, it's obviously our number one portal to engage with people. And it's a good platform to engage with a lot of people and share a lot of content and mass out. It's hard to kind of cut through the noise sometimes. So it's good to have DMs. People tag us and stuff, and if you do just tag us, sometimes they don't see it because we do get a lot of tags and notifications. The worst ones are when people like tag you in a post about a vote and stuff, and it's just like, and you get tagged with like 30 other people, so every time someone replies it just clogs up the notifications and you're just like, this is just ridiculous. But yeah, the 6,000 followers, it's amazing. If people can, you know, keep following us and sharing the love and sharing the word, that's great. We did create a more intimate private sleeper channel there that if you want a link to, just ask, and we'll send it across, but you should be able to find it. Just search 5-year Russian channels and you should find it.
When Murph says intimate, it's got red pillows and dull lighting and stuff like that.
I don't know about that. We're just trying to invite fantasy players in there. There's about 50 people in there. Engagement's just starting to pick up a little bit. We just want to get more engagement. It's just a good place to ask us questions, especially if you tag us. I mean, if you're in a fantasy football app setting lineups, it's so easy just to scroll down, go into the channel and just get some advice, if not from us, then from other players and all sorts. And from going forward, I'm not going to put league notifications on, like league vacancies on Twitter. I'm going to put them in there. So if you're looking for leagues, that's where we're going to do it. We really want to drive more engagement in the app because it just makes sense. You're there. It's easy to communicate with. So let's try and push people through there.
Absolutely. We're almost at 100 reviews on Apple Podcasts, which is pretty sweet as well. So if you would like, well, we would like you to leave us a little review, whether it's good, bad, or has to be 5-star. That's the key here, Rush Nation. No, I'm joking. But in all seriousness, reviews do help us reach more people. And we are all about engagement with the fantasy football and football community as a whole. So any reviews, wherever you listen, would be most welcome. And then finally, what's new at 5-yard? Well, we've welcomed Mason on board. He's a new writer for us. He's doing IDP streamers currently. He's got many strings to his bow, and we'll be unleashing him further into the end of the season and off season going forward. So if you do fancy writing for us, you know, Mason, hit us up. He was one of the FFCC t-shirt owners, sent us a sick picture of him wearing it from stateside as well, so that's always welcome. If you do fancy writing for us like Mason or any of the other lads who have joined us recently, come and do so. You know, hit us up on Twitter at 5-yard rush, hit Murph up at Murph_NFL. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's the one.
That's Murph's Twitter. And then, yeah, we're after Dynasty IDP stat writers. But if you have ideas and you want to come write for us and it isn't any of those three topics, send us some stuff. We won't turn you away unless it's pants.
Yeah, I think a big one on this is just, again, people just come up and say, what do you want writing? Like, listen, the basic stuff is covered. So we don't need someone to write waiver wires. We don't need someone to write league reviews. We've got enough of those. We don't need start sits. We don't need streaming options. We don't need wide receiver cornerback material. Like, if you're going to want to write to us, at least, like write for us, at least look at the content we post and say, right, that stuff's covered. We've got writers for that. Let's think about ways things I'm excited to write about. Really would like more Dynasty content, more IDP content, but something original, something fresh, or something that's going to really increase readership. But at the same point, it's just good. Like, it's just something you would want that you don't have. That's normally a good one. And a lot of this is learning as you go. So, like, if you're not like the biggest stat head, or you're not the biggest, like, just the whole point is giving it a go. Like, I'll give you the feedback. So will Stocks. We'll say, look, this is good. You need this research. Get it from here. Rob's a good example of that. You know, when Rob was posting his early articles, and he won't mind me saying this, you know, they were stats, but they weren't like, it was stats for stats sake. They just didn't, I don't think, added all the pieces together. And now he's got stats in there that make a lot of sense. And it shows and identifies trends. It's just playing with it and getting it out until you get to the product. You know, when we started writing pieces, they weren't cohesive. They didn't sort of connect all the dots. And now I think they're a lot better. So, you know, we're not looking for seasoned writers, although if there are, then amazing. We're just looking for people that are passionate, that are going to stick with this every single week and post something and give us something unique. And if you're that person, you know, just come and do it. And then you get to join the team of writers. They're a good bunch. We have a lot of banter. The WhatsApp group goes every day. And you just chat and ball, and you're part of something. And that's ultimately what it's all about.
Absolutely. Right, Murph, let's do some news. We're going to fire all 100 cannons from the HMS Buccaneer here, because it's starting with the Double Bucks news. Start off with the stuff we talked about when we met up last Wednesday about Antonio Brown. You and I did not discuss the fact that he was going to be a Buccaneer, because it was pretty much what everyone thought. He was going to be a Seattle Seahawk, and then he's turned up and signed as a Buccaneer, and officially today he's now a Buccaneer.
I really hate this move. Like, I don't understand it, like, at all. It just doesn't make any sense. This is your wide receiver core in Tampa. And the reason that they've given to signing Antonio Brown is injuries. And, like, we get injuries. Yeah, I get that. Your wide receiver core is Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Scotty Miller, who's balling out, by the way. That game on Sunday was incredible. He put in an unbelievable performance on Sunday. You got Tyler Johnson, who has flashed at times and scored touchdowns this season. I just don't think you need Antonio Brown. Like, I just, like, in the past, you'd look at this and go, okay, if Godwin and Evans both went down, then this team would be screwed. And then you have Breshad Perriman ball out when both of them went down. I just don't think that's, like, an issue. I think there's enough talent on this roster to cater. But, I mean, it's a cheap deal. That's the only thing, is it's heavily incentivized. That people are looking at number like, ooh, $2.5 million, that's a lot. Well, it gets $750,000 for winning the Super Bowl. That's part of it. He gets three sets of $250,000 bonuses for wide receptions, yards, and touchdowns. And they're only applicable if we make the playoffs. So, you know, a lot of that money is heavily incentivized. If we make the Super Bowl, he makes a catch in the Super Bowl that makes the game, then the money's well spent. Do I think he's on the roster when we get to the Super Bowl? Absolutely not. And I just think he's a headache that nobody wants. That's what I don't understand. Talent aside, are you going to get the player that is actually going to do anything? I don't... There's a big part of me, and in a horrible way, it's not a nice thing to say, but there's part of me that just hopes he remains banned. Because I don't want him to come in and cause the sort of chaos he did at the Raiders. Like, you just, the team's 5-2. It's cruising. It's we're winning games. We're beating good teams. We don't need a distraction right now. And he's nothing but a distraction. But then I said the same about Fournette, and he's so far. But then I wasn't as worried about Leonard Fournette from that standpoint as I was with Brown. I think he's a whole different kettle of fish. But then this is Brown's one chance to get a ring. He's not getting another one.
No.
This is it. If he wants to be a good boy, then fine.
The thing I found interesting about the whole situation is you ban someone for a certain amount of games and yet they're not with a team and then they're eligible to come back week 9, perhaps. So you're not with a team. So how can you qualify for those games? You're just banned for the games in the NFL. But that's ridiculous because you could be doing nothing. I think if you...
He's not allowed to do anything. So he's not allowed... The only reason he's been allowed in the facility is to get tested, to be part of the bubble, to get a playbook, and to sign his contract.
Yeah, no, but
he's not allowed
to
practice. He's not allowed to do anything. He has to now be out of the facility.
Well, what I meant by that is the fact that he should have to be associated with a team for that period. Or, I get that he's not allowed to do anything, but if he then was associated, let's just say the Buccaneers, because that's where he signed from week 1, and then he had a week 9 comeback and he did something within those 8 weeks, then fine. But his ban is essentially a ban for doing nothing for team wise, and then that week 9 he can be signed. And it doesn't make sense to me, but
is it a big difference if he signs now or if he signs a week from now? Given that the only thing he can do is get COVID tested and sign the contract. That's all he can do. He can't practice. He can't talk to coaches. He can't get any other information. He's literally basically he's just done admin. Like, I get your point. And I think if this was, I just think it's an administrative thing that he's had to do. And like, yeah, okay, we could have done this a week later. Do I think he plays in week 9? Probably not.
Yeah, unless obviously
we're on Monday night football, so that's week 8. So he can't come to the facility until, well, Tuesday will be a day off. So maybe he can come in and train on his own. And that's if the league don't extend his suspension. Like, he could still be suspended.
Yeah, because there's still information withholding on his charges and stuff, right?
Yeah, he's still facing legal action. So at the end of the day, he could be suspended for the season. The league might just go now, right? Now he's with a team, we have to decide if we want him to play. And they could ban him for the season, and the Buccaneers can cut him for nothing.
Yeah.
So he's not getting paid. It's not like he gets paid for this week. Like, he's not getting paid.
Yeah.
Because it's games played.
The only reason he plays week 9, is perhaps because Chris Godwin is out. We've seen next bit of news. Chris Godwin is out for Monday Night Football week 8. If he stays out and perhaps there's another injury somewhere else, or it may be he gets eligible when we see him week 9, but I don't know.
I just don't see it. You look at Fournette when he joined, he didn't get any carries the week he joined. You know, I just think, and with wide receivers, you've got to learn the playbook. Like, he's going to start. It's not like he's losing 2 days because of the fact that it's Monday Night Football. So that's 2 days, effectively Wednesday is before he can even join up with the team. So you've got, and people are talking about this Brady Antonio Brown connection. You know, they played one game. Like, he's played more games for Tyler Johnson. He's played more games for Scotty Miller. I just don't see Antonio Brown factoring in week 9 for whatever reason. So really, you're looking at week 10. Yeah, fine. I think Chris Godwin is a loss. I think he showed some really good things. And I think maybe they've only signed him because what Chris Godwin is dealing with is an injury that is going to consist of him being in and out at the side all season. You know, he's played a game, he misses 2 games, plays a game, misses 2 games. And maybe that's Chris Godwin now for the season. He's just got a niggling injury that we're just going to try and nurse him through. And the hope is that the Buccaneers get enough of a game lead to where they can sit him for the remainder of the season. That's going to be tough with the Saints, but yeah, it's interesting. I'm not for the Antonio Brown signing, but we'll see how that transpires. But I wouldn't be picking him up in fantasy leagues. I know everyone's rushed to and spent loads of fab on him, but I mean, he's at best a wide receiver 3, at best, on that team. And Tom Brady in that offense is not the offense of 12 months ago. It's not supporting 3 wide receivers a game.
Absolutely not. Chris Carson is injured and will be week to week going forward. I've no idea what to do with the backfield here.
When's Carlos Hyde done? There isn't anyone else.
Is he still banged up?
He's a little banged up, but he got 87% of the carries after Carson left the field.
Ah, fair enough.
So, I mean, DJ Dallas then got banged up in that game later on. I don't think he's coming back this week. I think Penny's still injured. Basically, Hyde is going to be that premier back until Carson returns. It could be a week. It could be 2 weeks. I said yesterday on the Waiver Wire podcast, you have to add him. If he's not on a roster, you have to add him because Chris Carson does go down. He does get injured.
Yeah.
And he goes and misses games. And Carlos Hyde immediately walks into a big opportunity. Now, he's not going to be, let's set expectations here. He's not going to be a Mike Davis RB1 situation. He's going to be a low-end RB2. He's probably a top 20 running back at his best. But if you're hurting and you need a running back, you know, give me the top 20, give me the 20th best running back over a lot of options out there right now.
Talking of somebody who's injured and has a handcuff, Kenyon Drake is injured and probably not looking to play week 8. So if, I nearly said Chase Claypool there. That was terrible, wasn't it?
Chase Edmonds, you mean?
Chase Edmonds, yeah. If Chase Edmonds is on your waiver wire, definitely be sticking a claim in for him because he's already eating into Drake's workload, which Murphy's going to talk to in a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll talk about that in a bit later on. But yeah, I think he was owned in 60% of leagues, close to 60% of leagues. It shocked me how much he was owned. So he probably isn't out there in most leagues. And if that's the case, go and grab Eno Benjamin because I think he's going to see a role now, especially if there's still touches. And then if Chase Evans goes down, Eno's going to clean it up.
Oh, my boy, Eno. So former Viking defensive end Emerson Griffin, who went to the Cowboys, is apparently being offered out by the Cowboys, who apparently want to trade him away.
It completely makes sense. Cowboys are not good.
Really?
You know, well, yeah. I mean, they're down to DiNucci at quarterback. It depends how long Dalton's out. Dalton's not looked good. Do you really see him winning the NFC least? Probably not. So you look at that and go, okay, well, let's get some pieces for next year. I don't know what Emerson Griffin what they want to get in return, the second, third round pick. I don't really know, but it makes sense if you're that bad and you're not winning this year to get something for him. Very similar to what the Vikings did with Yannick Ngakoue. You know, they invested, they knew Hunter was injured, they went and put up numbers for, they gave 2 draft picks away for Ngakoue. Then, you know, they started badly and they're 1-5. And then you're thinking, actually, we're not going to re-sign him. So we'll feed them out. And okay, they've lost a little bit on that whole overall transaction, but they still got picks back. And they could have just, it could have just been a completely sunk cost, and it makes sense to do that as well with Griffin.
Yeah, what doesn't make sense is the fact that next bit of news is the Jets want to trade defensive tackle Quinnen Williams. This is a guy that is, you draft top 4? Did he go 4th overall?
He went 3 overall last year.
And he's a cornerstone of your defensive line, class act coming out of college, and the Jets have literally just pushed that big red button and just...
This makes no sense.
No.
It makes no sense. You know, Yannick Ngakoue, who you're not going to re-sign, you've got him on a 1-year deal. You get pieces for him, you're losing. Makes sense. Emerson Griffin, you've got him on a fairly short deal. Makes sense. Trade him. You've still got this season, 2 more seasons, and the 5th-year option on Quinnen Williams, who is at the very beginning of his career. So you got him on a rookie contract. He is cheap. He's produced. Yes, he's had some injuries, but he has produced. He's done a good job. This makes no sense. I don't know why you're trading rookies. And they want multiple second round picks for a guy they got at 3 overall. Like, it just doesn't make a ton of sense if the guy wasn't performing. If he was a veteran, I'd go, yeah, I think for me, the Jets can trade a whole host of players. If I'm the Jets, I'd probably even be fielding offers for Darnold. They say they're not. But if someone came in and wanted Darnold that badly, I think they could probably get him because you could just line Flacco there for the rest of the year, go get Trevor Lawrence, job done. But there's a ton of players that you can go and get there. Mosley, I know he's hurt. I don't know if he passed the medical, but And I don't know if he's out for the entire year, but if he is, then okay, probably not. But there's still some players you can get from there that would be useful pieces. The Buccaneers signed McClendon there. They got him for free, basically. You know, they traded a 2022 sixth for a 2023 seventh. Like, yeah, sure. The guy didn't even leave the state. Like, he got in the car and drove up to Florida. So, yeah, there's pieces there. I get that they want to get picks. I get that they want to do a full rebuild next year, probably with a new coach, probably get Trevor Lawrence in there, and I get all that. But don't trade away your brilliant rookies. You know, for me, the ones on there that you can't trade, Becton, Williams, you know, those are two of about three or four guys on that roster I would not be trading. Probably wouldn't trade P. Ryan.
You can't trade Mims either because he hasn't had a chance.
Can't trade Mims. Yeah, exactly. So they're the sorts of guys I wouldn't be trading. But yeah, I mean, open season on everyone else. Do you know what? I'd be shopping Flacco to the Cowboys. I really would. I'd get whatever you can. If you can get a fifth round pick for Joe Flacco right now, I'd do it tomorrow. Just no questions asked. And if you can get a couple of picks for Darnold, I'd do that too. Because the Cowboys, if they get a quarterback, they're in that division.
Yeah,
they're in that division. You know, it's a poor division, but they could win it with a quarterback.
We'll talk about that in a little bit, Murph. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Some sad news for the Cleveland Browns and fans of flashy football all over the place. OBJ is out for the season with a torn ACL. I think it was a non-contact. I haven't actually seen it. Non-contact injury.
Yeah, it was. It was literally the first, the Browns' first offensive play of the game. Baker Mayfield for an interception. He was running to make the tackle and he did the ACL.
Yeah, I tend not to watch knee stuff if I can help it.
Makes sense. I mean, it's bad. We kind of knew it was going to be that, but official confirmation yesterday.
Yeah, so I've actually put a waiver bid in, and obviously you can drop OBJ now in standard redraft leagues, and it feels so weird doing it, even though you know someone like that quality is out for the season. You put a waiver claim in, and rather than get rid of your streaming wide receiver or tight end, whatever, you think, oh, OBJ, I might as well throw him to the pile. And it feels odd, even though you, I, and everyone knows he's done for the season. It just doesn't feel quite right. And then finally, CMC turned up today in a red non-contact jersey. So he's probably not going to practice at all today, or he'll be just doing light drills. So,
well, no, he did originally turn up in the red jersey to say he wasn't going to practice. And then as practice was about to start, he changed jersey and put a regular jersey on.
Interesting.
So he is practicing.
That seems like a weird thing to do.
Very, very strange thing to do. Maybe he didn't think he was going to practice, and then they decided he was going to practice. I don't really know. It's not like people aren't going to see that and find out very quickly. I'd say probably he's going to be a limited participant. We don't know officially what it is, but yeah, he is actually doing reps today.
Seems like a short week to throw him in Thursday night football.
I agree. I wouldn't do it, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. They were unlucky against the Saints. They played well enough to win that game on Sunday.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater takes a sack he shouldn't have taken, and sets up a 65-yard field goal, and Joey Sly misses it by about 2 feet.
Like when you're watching it, obviously a field goal, you always see it from either behind the uprights or behind the kicker. And it never gives you a true representation of where the ball arc finishes. So it was obvious it missed. But from behind where we watched it from, it wasn't obvious as to how close it got to the crossbar.
No, I wasn't overly sure he'd missed it straight away. It was only really sort of waiting for the signal. It was really close. Like, if that's a 64-yard field goal, he makes it. Just. Yeah. So... if Teddy Bridgewater doesn't take the sack, then maybe that's what it was. I mean, you can do anything else there rather than throw an interception and take a sack. So, yeah, it's a shame. I think they were toe-to-toe with the Saints. And, yeah, Drew Brees was good. Like, he did enough to win the game.
Absolutely. So we've had Matt Nagy's obvious corner. Murph's thrown a new curveball, and it's the top three coaching blunders of Week 7.
It just amazes me, right? So I don't claim to be a professional sportsman in any way, but I don't understand coaching decisions that just make no sense, and they really grind me. So every week this year, there's been two or three every week. So I'm going to point them out because I don't understand. I think like it's good to understand why they're coaching blunders, and I hope it enhances people's enjoyment of the game and knowledge of the game. So the third one, and this one really doesn't take much explanation, is Cliff Kingsbury actually iced his own kicker in overtime. So he sends out Gonzalez to kick the game-winning field goal. It's about 4 minutes left in overtime, knowing that the field goal wins it. He's going to kick it on, I think it's second and 15, and he's not really paid attention to what's going on the field, and he's called the timeout as Gonzalez has kicked it. So he's called the timeout, and Gonzalez made the field goal. So they would have won the game there and then. So he's iced it, and then they send Gonzalez out, and then he missed the next field goal. He's iced his own kicker, and then they ended up winning the game, so it didn't matter. But imagine if Seattle had taken that field, that short field, and won the game off a field goal. Like, Cliff Kingsbury would have cost his team a win because he wasn't watching what was going on. And listen, he was very honest in the post-match interview, and I appreciate this, that he said, look, I completely wasn't on the ball with what was going on. I didn't realize he'd lined up to take the kick because I wouldn't have done it, but I just wanted to change something. I don't know what the reason was, but yeah, he did own up to his mistake. He said it was stupid of him, which, you know, I like that. I like the fact that he owned the mistake. But yeah, like, icing your own kicker is brilliant, especially when it works, like, and you've actually iced him and he's missed it. Like, it's one thing to do it and then he makes the kick. It's another, and it's a game-winning kick. Like, it's not even like early in the game, like they win the game. Ah, brilliant. I mean, like, those sort of moments is what I live for in the NFL.
The thing that got me about that game was the Cardinals only led when they won it in overtime.
Yeah, it was the only time in the game they led.
Yeah, mad.
Brilliant. That's how you do it. Yeah, ta-da. See you, lads. See you soon.
Madness.
Oh, man, the NFC West is legit, right? It's a properly good division. It's like the reverse of the East. All the teams are good.
At number two.
This one's really bad. I was seething when I watched this. So in the fourth quarter of the Texans and Packers game, the Texans are losing by 21. They're losing by 21. For context, it's 4th and 15, right? And Romeo Crennel has decided he's going to go and kick a field goal. There's like 12 minutes left in the game, and he decides to send the field goal unit out. So he reduces a three-score game to a three-score game. Why? It's like, why? If you miss on 4th and 15, what does it matter other than you've given short field? In that case, punt. If you're that worried about field position, punt, put him inside the 5. But you're 3 scores down. Like, if you're worried about field position, that's the wrong thing. You've got to be thinking about trying to win the game. You've only got, if you're lucky, you get 4 possessions. If you're lucky. So you need to score. You're down 3. This is livid. And then, just to really compound the error, he then, on the next drive, goes and kicks another field goal.
Chipping away at the lead, chipping away at the lead.
But you've wasted, but you don't have many possessions left. And then you just go and kick 2 field. Oh, congratulations, you lost by 2 scores instead of 3. Yeah, round of applause. Come on. I just looked at that and I just went, I don't know what you're doing. I genuinely do not. You might as well just say to the guys at Green Bay, look, let's all take knees and let's just walk in the locker room. We'll just wrap this one up because we're not interested in winning the game. Like, ludicrous. I mean, that is beyond dumb, but still not the worst thing that happened this week.
Well, yeah, this one, I have a point about number two. It's not actually about number two, it's just about the Texans game. I imagine, I think I got this off the from Dan Hanses on the Around the League podcast, did the JJ Watt interview. Do you hear that on their podcast, or was that from another podcast?
It would have been from another podcast.
So JJ Watt got interviewed after the game about Aaron Rodgers, and he said the guy asked JJ Watt what Aaron Rodgers is doing at the moment, because is he playing better than you've ever seen him play? And JJ said, yeah, he's playing well right now. So the reporter then asked JJ, what's he doing that makes him play so well? And then JJ turned around and said, he's throwing the ball to his receivers who are catching it. It's just the most JJ Watt thing when they've got hammered again. Is just
simple game, right? Yeah. Just catch, just throw and catch. Yeah, I just, I don't know. I just, it, the Texans just infuriate me. Like, they just infuriate me as a team, as a franchise. I just, you're 1-5. 1-6 now, but you were 1-5 at the time. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, yeah. Well, if I lose by 15, that's just not as bad as losing by 21. Like, ridiculous. Just get out of here. Like, you might as well. You should have been sacked for that. Just for that one thing. That it's like, it's a mindset thing. Just go. Just we'll just go get someone else.
Absolutely. And number one.
I mean, this is the worst thing I've seen in the NFL for quite some time. What's ironic, this happened in college football. I think it happened in the Penn State game.
Yeah, it did.
The day before. And these sorts of errors don't really happen all that often. So the Falcons get first and goal. They get first and goal with 54 seconds on the clock. They have, and the Lions have no timeouts, right? And the Falcons have all of theirs. They're training by one at this stage. So they're training by 1 point. So they need a field goal to win. Now, the simple thing to do here would be take a knee, stop the clock with 3 seconds left, line up, take the field goal, win the game. Right? That's all you have to do to win the game. You just have to go knee. Is it a tie game at this point?
No, they were down because the Lions.
They were down by one. So you take a knee, and then kick the field goal. And it's pretty straightforward. I think anybody in the world could have worked that one out with not too much difficulty. No, they were down by two. They were down by two. It was 16-14. So they're down by two, kick the field goal, 3 seconds remaining, and it's a chip shot. He's kicking it from like inside 20 yards. And you win the game, 17-16, job done. Now, for some reason, Raheem Morrison and Todd Gurley have decided that they're going to run the ball. And Todd Gurley forgets. He forgets that he shouldn't score.
Which I feel terrible for Todd Gurley in this situation because he has spent his entire career at the goal line thinking, get into the end zone. And I get that he would have been told not to score, but when you then the play starts and the adrenaline, I can understand why he thought he was going to, and he did his very best when he realised to not score.
Well, yeah, and he's turning around trying to not score because the only way they can lose the game from there is either they miss the field goal or they score a touchdown and give the ball back to the Lions. And you can see in Gurley, he's broken clear. And the Lions have just gone, mate, score. Just score. Honestly, it's fine. When you see, and there's a great picture going on the internet, the Lions players calling for the touchdown, that's when you know you've messed up. When the other team goes, yeah, mate, just hit the... Yeah, done. Brilliant. And he's falling backwards trying to not score.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the most Falcons thing ever. This season, they've managed to lose 3 games in the most ridiculous fashion I've ever seen a team lose. They lose, like, went up like 18 points and lose to an onside kick because they don't recover the ball when they can because they don't know the rules. Then they lose to the Bears, who put up 18-21 points with 5 minutes left in the game. Like, any first down wins the game. And then so they go up by 6. And, you know, the only thing they do here that's right is they go for the 2-point play. They miss it. The Lions get the ball back with, about a minute left and end up, you know, winning the game with no time on the clock, basically. Just unbelievable. Like, that is just next level bad game management. Like, I don't understand how you can get that wrong. I just don't. I don't understand how you can make that mistake. So, yeah, you'll probably never see that. Well, I say never. You probably won't see that for a few years. A team scoring a touchdown when they didn't need to.
It happened twice in one weekend. Yeah, if mental. You include the college.
Just the worst thing I've ever seen. I just don't, like, the Falcons, like, congratulations. You officially are the worst team in the, like, you're not the worst team playing wise in the NFL, but probably coaching wise and discipline wise, probably the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, they've got no favours. They've done themselves no favours whatsoever. We talked about their cap hell situation last week. And I mean,
yeah, they're in trouble. They're in real trouble. And I expect them to be very busy this week with the trade deadline looming just a week away.
Yeah, talking of the trade deadline, I don't think it will be a deadline day like we normally see. I think deals are going to get done sooner because of COVID and stuff. People are going to want them in the building tested and properly done. So I don't think it's going to be a Tuesday rush. I mean, by the time you hear this, there could have been deals reported already. So
yeah, absolutely.
Right, Murph, it's takeaway time, and I'm not talking about Chinese or curry, although I am pretty hungry. It's time for our fantasy takeaways from week 8. You can start, and I like the first one.
Yeah, so for me, I'm just a bit wary now of Kenyon Drake. He's not looked good. He had a good week 6, but other than that, he's not really looked good this season. And I think now, if Edmonds lights it up in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I expect Kenyon Drake to potentially lose that monopoly on the starting role, because he's been losing his grip on it slowly, slowly, slowly. And I think he could go and become a rotational back. So Edmonds looked good. He looked really good when he came into the game on Sunday Night Football. So I think if Edmonds does well over the next week or two, I'd be really worried as a Kenyon Drake owner. I don't have him in too many places, but if I did, I'd be panicking. I'd be really severely panicking because he's not coming back to the same role. I just don't see it.
They're on bye this week, right?
They are on bye this week.
Yeah, so maybe drink Drake gets a chance to get himself healthy over the bye week, but I think it's with a week to week, you're never quite sure. And Joe Mixon's week to week as well. I mean, I know we didn't mention him, but the chance of him playing again. And Gio looked pretty good this week. So,
yeah, Gio turned up. He did a good job. I think Mixon's different because, one, he's paid. Two, he's demonstrated he's the guy there. I'm not worried about Mixon's role as much as I'd be worrying about Kenyon Drake's role.
Absolutely. My first one is that as fire as the Dolphins have been so far with Fitzmagic, I think picking a Dolphins receiver to start this week will be the toughest week of the year because of Tua starting. And we saw at Alabama that he hyper-targeted Jerry Jeudy. And whilst Henry Ruggs was good, when Tua gets a guy, it becomes his first read and generally one of his main targets. So we like to think that it would probably be Devontae Parker with his draft pedigree and how he went last season, but Tua might have had some practice reps with Preston Williams. We just don't know. So I think starting a Dolphins receiver this week is going to be tricky. And that was purely based on the fact that we heard last week that Fitz isn't going to be the starter anymore.
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to look at, they're playing the Rams this week on... They are at home. I would expect them to be behind. You know, Rams are favorite by 4 right now.
Only 4.
Yeah, at this point of the week, it might move out a bit more.
It seems okay.
But I don't know. I think that's a pretty good line. I'm not as convinced about the Rams as most are. Yeah, they did well against the Bears, but they still put up 24. They're not a super efficient offense. I think Parker's a play this week. I don't like the other receiver. Like, Preston Williams hasn't done too much. He's had a couple of splashes. I wouldn't, you know, I don't think it's a great game for Gesicki unless you're desperate tight end, and I'd understand why you are. So, yeah, I would say really, unless you're desperate, I'd only be playing Williams and Parker. I'd only be playing Parker and Gaskin in that game. I wouldn't really be. I'd take, if you've got the luxury of a bench to take a few weeks to see what Tua's like and everything, then that's what I would do personally.
The next one's also quarterback related. Murph, over to you, sir.
Yeah, I'm at the point now with the Patriots that I just don't want part of the Patriots. So there's a few teams I want minimal assets from. So going into this week, I was like, the Patriots would have James White, but even he doesn't look great, but feel like fine because running backs are short. Maybe James White makes sense. The Jets only want Crowder. He's the only player I'm really interested in. With Denver, really only Noah Fant and Tim Patrick, but he's now questionable. I just don't think Locke and that offense are clicking and doing enough for me. And then the Giants, I only want Slayton. And people will talk about Evan Ingram and Sterling Shepard. Those players blow so hot and cold. There's just no consistency with them. One week they'll be great, the next they'll be bad. This week, I'm starting no one from the Giants. They've got the Buccaneers. Maybe Slayton goes over the top and gets something. I don't really know. But yeah, I'm not convinced on those teams. And at the same token, I'm really not convinced on these Patriots teams. They're just a bad football team. Really, really bad. Cam looks as bad as I've ever seen him. Stidham is tripping over the offensive lineman. I mean, like, what are you really supposed to do with that team? Edelman is banged up. He's hurt. He can't run. I don't know why he's out there. Harry is a ghost. Like, who on that team is he worth any of? Damien Harris can't run with the ball. It just is a bad football team. There's now five teams in the NFL I just don't want assets from at all. And I'm almost there with the Dolphins, but I give it a couple of weeks. But yeah, I'd be more interested in just focusing on other teams and acquiring other pieces. I just, you know, if you've got any of these players, good luck trading them. You might get something for Cam now, if you're lucky. I'd be trading him or dropping him because he's just not going to do you the job going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you're only getting something for Cam in a Superflex or two QB league right now. There's so many other people you could step up and stream in a single quarterback league. Cam, and if you're still starting Cam, are you really playing fantasy football? Let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason you're playing Cam is if you're in a Superflex, there isn't any other quarterbacks and you've got no choice. But in any other scenario, yeah, he's not worth anything. Like, you can drop him or try and trade and flips and get something for him, but he's not good. And at this rate, I just don't see the Patriots re-signing him. He's on a one-year deal. I think Stidham has shown he's not the guy. Maybe they draft one. Who knows? Maybe they sign one. But there isn't anything right now that suggests to me that they would be better with any other quarterback either.
Absolutely. That was a great segue, Murph, because my second point is that Tom Brady is officially the greatest of all time. The questions early on were, was it Bill or was it Tom? Nobody really knew because they were symbiotic. They were one person essentially. And then they let Brady go and he went down to sunny Florida. And Murph thought that this news meant that the season wasn't going to happen. And it's taken a few weeks, but Brady is back to some of his enigmatic best. You could definitely start him as a fantasy football quarterback right now because he's making enough passes and touchdowns that it doesn't matter who he's throwing to, he's getting you the yards and points. But this one was just for you, big man. You got your 12 jersey on as we talk over the Zoom. There you are, Zoom. There's your free plug. If you want to sponsor us, you know where we are. It's good to see. It's good to see for you. It's good to see for the league. It's good to see for fantasy. And I'm pleased that he managed to prove that it wasn't all Bill and he had something to do with it. Because until he moved from New England, there was always that moniker of, yes, he was a sixth round quarterback and yes, he was just following what Bill Belichick was doing and he was a disciple to some extent, in my eyes at least. And now he's down there with Arians getting hugs on the sideline and they're both having a whole world of fun.
Yeah, listen, there's the expectations here on Tom Brady. He's probably that fringe QB1. Yeah, great week last week. And that offense is clicking. There is some injury concerns there with some of the weapons. Gronk is looking, I'm not going to say like Gronk of old, but he looks serviceable as a tight end. And I think he's going to be, listen, there's a lot of tags that have been slung at Tom Brady, and I've watched him now for 7 weeks. Is he a system quarterback? I don't buy that anymore. The Arian system and the Bill Belichick system are very, very different. He is starting to prove that he can succeed in both. The other one's a game manager, and I 100% believe he is a game manager. And I don't have a problem with that. I don't think that's... This understanding of a game manager is like, oh, it's boring. I don't know what people saw on Sunday, but that wasn't boring, what he did. He threw two of the best touchdowns I've ever seen. Like, that one to Scotty Miller is one of the best touchdowns I've ever seen without any yards after the catch or anything like that. Just a straight end zone bomb. And he's just getting better. And it's like you say, he's just getting better. But I also don't expect him to play like he did on Sunday every week. He is going to have games where he throws for like 210 yards and two touchdowns. Because they want to run the ball. They want to control the clock. They want to take longer drives. They want to suck the life out of teams. And this team can do it now. It's got a good offensive line. It's got a good defense. The team can run the ball now. Like, it's just a pretty complete team. So every week, Brady will put up points. Some weeks it will be very low. Some weeks will be like this week. But he's not going to cost you weeks. He's not going to have those weeks where he's going to put up 6, 10, 12. You know, I see his floor at like 16 and his ceiling at like 30. Ish, but I think he'll waver like towards 18 to 20 one every week. And I think that's kind of where you would expect him to be. So if you've got Tom Brady, it's the good thing about it, it's a late bye. It's the last week of the regular season. Hopefully you're in your playoffs. You can swallow the bye then. But then also, he's not going to cost you any weeks. He's a step up on Derek Carr when I wrote about him in the waiver wire column this week. He's not going to put up loads of big weeks like this week, but he will put a few up, but he's definitely not going to cost you weeks. And there's a security to that's nice.
Absolutely. Right, Merv.
Yeah, I'll blitz through this one. For me, if I'm targeting one player right now, the player I am buying as much as I can, and I'm probably not going to be able to after this goes out, is Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen is the player I am buying absolutely everywhere, if I can. I made a couple offers for him. Let me read you. The reason I want to buy Keenan Allen, first of all, I think his touchdowns are going to improve. He's only got two on the season, but he's got over 450 yards receiving. And at the end of the day, he is going to be getting, that's incredibly low. It's well below the league average for touchdowns, for receiving yards on the season, or average receiving yards per touchdown. So that's going to regress. He's in a positive way. He's going to get more touchdowns. And second of all, their playoff schedule is absolutely nuts. So let me read you his fantasy playoff schedule. He's at home to the Falcons, then away to the Raiders, and then at home to the Broncos.
That's nice.
Giddy up. If you can get Herbert, if you can get Keenan Allen, those are the guys that you want to be buying. Even Eckler. If you can get Eckler on a buy low now with that playoff schedule, that could be tasty. Like having those three or that sort of stack, I'd be buying Chargers players, but especially Keenan Allen. I think he's legit going to be a wide receiver one in fantasy by the end of the season.
Yeah, and then my last point is a sell away, and that is Todd Gurley and maybe all the Falcons, but then who knows who's a Falcon when it comes to next Tuesday. I mean, you've got Julio there, you've got Matt Ryan there, both on big contracts that could be traded away because they're in cap hell, as we mentioned already. But Todd Gurley, he gets the Panthers' run defense this week, which isn't great. After that, they've got a bye. No, they don't. After that, they play the Broncos, whose run defense is pretty good at the moment. The Broncos as a whole aren't a great team, but their run defense is good. Then they go to the Saints, who have got a good run after their bye week. Then, yeah, so they go, I got this really badly wrong. They go Panthers, Broncos, don't want the Broncos matchup. Then you've got a bye. Then they face the Saints, who have got a pretty good run defense. Then they take on the Raiders, who that's a matchup you could exploit if you hold it on. Then they go Saints, then they go Chargers, and then they go Buccaneers, then Chiefs, who have got a pretty good run defense. And if you play into week 17, they got the Buccaneers again. So if you can get rid of Todd Gurley, now's the time. Maybe now or after a good Panthers game is definitely the time to sell.
It's funny you said that. I shipped him in the BFFL today. So I shipped him, picked up a couple of pieces on defense, and got David Johnson, which I don't see as much of a downgrade. The guy I traded with, Lewis, he needed a running back this week. So he takes Gurley. I can afford to take an L, which I'm not even 100% sure I'll get an L. It's going to be a matchup. But even if I lose this week, it's not a big deal. I'm 6-1 and one game from clinching in the playoffs. So I'm not too worried about necessarily losing this week, but I picked up a couple of really nice IDP pieces, so a linebacker and a DB. So I've improved my room there. I shipped out two players who've still got buys to come. I brought in two players who've had buys. So it's just about roster management. I picked up a player I don't think is much of a trade down at running back, but I've got to suffer the buy this week, and then picked up two IDP pieces that are far better than the pieces I shipped out. So I traded him because I looked at the same thing. I don't want my running back to have the Buccaneers in the fantasy playoffs.
No.
I mean, the one thing about the Buccaneers, they're now at 12 consecutive games of not giving up 100 yards of rushing total. That's not to one rusher, that's total team rushing. So if decent. They get through this week against the Giants, which you would like to expect, unless Danny Jones breaks off another 80-yard run and trips over himself again. You know, it'd be down to if they can stop Kamara, then they'll tie the NFL record and then maybe even go on and beat it. So it's interesting. Like, yeah, I get you 100%. I'd be trading away Gurley. You're not going to get tons for him, but hopefully you get back more than what you invested. So, yeah,
Absolutely.
Speaking of
go on.
Yeah. I was going to say, speaking of the trade deadline.
We should
definitely talk about very, very quickly, about 5 minutes or so, just on who we think realistically could get traded, where they might go, or what would be good for fantasy.
Right, you can shut your damn mouth on this first one. If this happens, I'll cry.
Why? I think it makes a lot of sense.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
So, listen, there's no inkling. So on these are just things that I think would help for fantasy perspective, and things that would help. I think they'd be good things to see, full stop, and they're realistic. They're not, I mean, I'm not saying they're likely or they're going to happen, but I can see them happening and explain why. So the first one is, I think Michael Chalmers to the Chiefs would be an amazing fit. Here's why. There's something going on that nobody's talking about. Mm-hmm. I said this on the pod earlier. There's something going on that nobody's talking about. He had an injury. He was supposed to be out 3 weeks, maybe four. Don't forget, he's never put on IR. Right? That's the key to all of this, is he was never put on IR. He's due to play Monday Night Football. He punches a teammate, so they don't play him. Then mysteriously, as he's looking ready to play, he picks up a mysterious hamstring injury, doesn't play. Now it's looking like he might not play in week 8. I don't know how you go from practicing and punching a teammate to going back to being injured. There is something behind the scenes going on that we don't know. I think it's a character issue. I think Michael Thomas doesn't want to be a Saint anymore. I think he knows this roster's getting blown up, because it has to. They've got cap problems, and I think they're going to blow this up. I don't think he wants to be part of a team that isn't going to challenge. I think he wants a ring. And with the fact that you've got players at the Chiefs, like, they're going to have some players off their roster. I mean, I know they've got Sammy Watkins, but he's going to be a free agent next year. I think they've got the cap room. They could be creative and make that work. I think he gets his ring. I think it'd be an unbelievable fit. Imagine having Tyreek Hill and Michael Thomas on the same team with Patrick Mahomes throwing them the ball.
Well, not just those two. You've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Lev Bell and Travis Kelce also. And then if you did happen to want to go four wide, you stick a speedster like Mecole Hardman out there as well. I mean,
yeah, it'd be unbelievable. Listen, I think for fantasy, it's probably an arrow down for a lot of players, but I do think it's in the realm of possibilities that I could see something like that happening. I do think Michael Thomas has a chance to get traded by the deadline, because there's something going on that nobody's talking about. And there's just no way I'm not buying the injured hurt. I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying he's injured.
No, there's no way you practice in full all week and then suddenly have a hamstring designation. That just, that doesn't happen.
Especially as I think there may be even a trade agreed or very close. And you don't want to play him because you don't want him getting hurt and losing your assets.
So you've got 5, Murph, and I've got 3. 2 of ours are the same team acquiring different players.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to start with my last one, and I've got an IDP one here, and that's JJ Watt to Pittsburgh. Now, this is more of a dream situation.
I was going to say it's a pipe dream, isn't
it? It is a pipe dream, but he's obviously not happy in Texas. Texas are quite happy they're apparently shopping Will Fuller. So you've got another Texan going somewhere else later on in this as well. David Johnson has apparently been shopped about, I heard today on a podcast. I don't know how true that is. But for JJ Watt to go and play with his brother, JJ Watt he's old now, he's banged up. He's the kind of guy you want to get 25, maybe 30 snaps a game, not 45 to 50 playing every snap. He just doesn't have that in anymore. And to add to that Pittsburgh defense on a rotation would be absolutely ridiculous. So I just think it would be good for your IDP if you own him and you invested a bit too much because you expected more than you're perhaps getting.
Yeah, but 100% won't happen, because he's $17.5 million against the cap next year, and the Steelers are already over cap for next year.
Well, there you go. Blow that one out of the water.
Sorry, pal. But
no, it's all right.
I just thought I'd kibosh that, because it's not the pick. He could get traded, but I can't see him going to. It's coming to Pittsburgh. They just can't afford him. It's the end all result of that. I thought what would be an interesting one, and I'm not really sure that Bill would do this, but I just think about options and cost, right? Tyrod Taylor to the Patriots. Tyrod Taylor doesn't have a job. He's, you know, he's back up at the Chargers. There's no way that Herbert's losing that job now. It's just, it's not going to happen. Tyrod, he knows the division. He played it in the Bills. You know, he is a compliant, safety first kind of quarterback. The Patriots D is good enough to keep the teams in games. And Bill loves to run the ball. So why not get a quarterback who can run the ball pretty well and can keep them in games? I think that's what they wanted to do with Newton. It's not working, but Tyrod doesn't really turn the ball over. He doesn't really take risks. He's kind of like the most risk-averse quarterback outside of Teddy Bridgewater. So I think it makes sense to... I think he would make players better, Tyrod Taylor, which is probably something that's never been said about Tyrod Taylor as a fantasy quarterback. But I just think they're at rock bottom. I think he would use the dump off to James White a lot. I think James White would be relevant. I think because of the run threat, he'll probably open up lanes for Damian Harris and make him somewhat relevant again, because they know he can actually run, because Cam at the moment cannot. He just cannot run. I think, you know, he is accurate in short distances. I think if Edelman can get fit, he can bring Edelman into play. Doesn't help Nikhil Harry, but I think he does arrow up a few players if he does go. He's not going to cost you a lot. Like, he's just not going to, like, he's going to cost Bill like a sixth round pick. Mm. And like, Bill Belichick is not going to be happy with what he's seeing right now. I just think I'd be getting rid of Cam. I'd be getting rid of Stidham. I'd just go with Tyrod Taylor, draft one next year, go get one in free agency, go do what you need to do. But I would rather have Tyrod Taylor under center right now than Cam Newton, based on what I've seen at the start of the season, what I've seen during the season.
That's crazy talk. Bill definitely wouldn't do it. But yeah, stranger things have happened in New England, right?
I just think I look at the quarterbacks available. And like, I was going to go Cowboys, right, with Tyrod Taylor. But that just doesn't work with that system. I think Tyrod Taylor does make a bit of sense.
Do you know what does work with the Cowboys? Send Fitz magic down there to absolutely sling it about to all those weapons and try and keep up with just how bad that defense is. I think that would be fun.
That would be so fun.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen, but that would be so fun.
I know it's not going to happen. You've got Dalton, but what he's shown so far is not great. And you just think, you tap Ryan Fitz up. You say, listen, pal, we've got 8 games left. We're still in with a shout, even though we are god-awful everywhere else except offense. Come down here, have a bit of fun, go to Gerald World and just go crazy for 8 games. See what can happen. Oh, that would be tremendous.
Oh, God, I'd watch that. I'd watch that every week, all day long. I think it'd be incredible. That'd be a proper show. Like, I'd be all for that. If someone can make that trade happen, I'd be all for it. I think it'd be brilliant. I'm going to do 2, and then we'll both talk about the team that we've got a player going to, which is different players to the same team. So first one, Kerryon Johnson to the Dolphins. Kerryon Johnson's doing nothing at Detroit. He's still quite young. He's still got a lot to offer. Yes, he has injuries. They basically said that Jordan Howard he's healthy scratches now. He's not playing, so he's expendable. Breeder, not really doing tons there. Gaskin's the lead back, and he's not done a bad job, Gaskin. He's done better than I thought he would, but he's not giving them enough in the game for me. I think Kerryon Johnson, when fit, is a very good running back. I just think the problem is he's not always fit. I think the warm weather will help him. I think coaching staff will help him with additional fitness. I think Kerryon Johnson to the Dolphins makes sense in the short term. They're 3-3. They're still in play in the division. But I think in the long term, they could get him on a cheaper re-up because of his injuries. So pay him much closer to Austin Ekeler money, maybe a lot less than Austin Ekeler. But you could re him up for a couple of years and use his talent, partner him with Gaskin. I think that's a decent little 1-2 combination there. I think his situation would be better. I think he'll put up, I'm not going to say elite fantasy numbers, but I think he'd be far more relevant than he is now. So I'd like to see that one for a lot of different reasons, but I think it's also one that makes a lot of sense. It's just whether or not they do the numbers and decide that that's worth doing. The other one I think that makes a lot of sense, and this is really logical, is David Njoku of the Browns going to the Bills. I think that the Bills are in win now. The division is theirs to have. Njoku is still on the end of his rookie contract, so he's not going to be expensive against the cap. He doesn't want to be in Cleveland. He's asked for trade repeatedly. He is someone that I can see going to a team that is playoff bound, and Croft and Knox are not getting it done at tight end. They're just not. They need a better blocker and they need a better offensive weapon, and Njuku brings both. So, yeah, I like Njuku to the Bills, and I think that trade would make a lot of sense for fantasy, but also just in general would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've both got a player going to the Packers, and shock, horror, surprise, it is a wide receiver, because other than Devontae Adams, who can do three people's worth of work on his own, it seems, they don't have anyone else. Would you like to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Okay. I've got AJ Green going to the Packers, and this is based on, I've heard several people now say that apparently there's been some communication between Green Bay and Cincinnati, and AJ Green is obviously the only guy they're going to ship out. I think it would be a reasonable fit. AJ Green is slowly knocking the dust off and is not awful anymore. He's just a little bad. So I think Aaron Rodgers could untap a little bit of the talent that AJ Green clearly has. And it would be good for fantasy because AJ Green might be slightly more relevant, but it would also free up Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins, who are both showing that they are definitely good wide receivers.
Yeah, I can't agree with that one. I just think that for me, the problem with, I just don't see AJ Green being relevant anymore. I just don't. I've said this for a couple of years. Great player in his day. Could do a lot, but yeah, I don't think this is the time. You got a team that's going to the playoffs ultimately. That is what we're looking at. I think the salary cap is an issue as well. I'm just looking now. Their estimated cap space is around about $7 million. AJ Green's playing on the tag, so north of $16 million. So you'd have to shift a lot to make that happen. It's doable. It's not impossible to bridge that sort of gap. But you know, I'm going to talk about a player who's a few million left. Again, it's still going to be difficult with the cap, but worked out a path to do it. And I've gone Brandon Cooks because he's younger, he's more athletic because he suffered less injuries, and also he has that ability to play. There's a gap there. You've got Devontae Adams on the outside. I think AJ Green and Devontae Adams are almost too similar. I think there'll be too much root overlap. So what's AJ Green going to bring you that Devontae Adams doesn't already bring to the table? Not a lot. What they need is someone who can play that sort of Chris Godwin slot X role, who can work out the slot, get yards after the catch, but can also play that intermediate zone really well. And I don't think there's a better wide receiver available than Brandon Cooks who could do that. So I think they need an intermediate receiver. AJ Green, more of a deep threat, kind of got that covered. I just think having two sets of deep threat, it doesn't solve their immediate problem of who's going to catch underneath other than Robert Tonyan. I think Cooks does that role better personally, but
I think we both agree that
they need someone who's going to make a difference, and I think either would be better than what they have right now.
Well, yeah, it's not just you and I that think they need a wide receiver. It is everybody except the Packers front office, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so I like your fit, but you did the show notes and you got that in before me, so I had to pick someone else, and of course it had to be AJ Green. Murph, we've got to that point of the week where it's time to hit the streets, big man. Come on then.
I don't really have a lot this week, to be perfectly honest, and also working to a slight time constraint. So let me just see if I can pull up one or two.
You don't even have any ready. They're in the show notes. You've done me an absolute kipper here.
Yeah, but the things aren't in the show notes. No,
I know that. Otherwise, I'd know what they were.
Well, I like to keep them as a surprise. But I was looking at time and thinking, like, okay, we're not really going to have.
Well, just do one. Do your absolute favorite.
So I've dropped quite a few during it, which is also another reason why I've. Let's go with a Kyler Murray one. I'll reel off two Kyler Murray ones in a row.
He wears a really tiny t-shirt.
That's it, because he is about 4 feet tall. So Kyler Murray joined Tom Brady as the only quarterback to throw 3+ passing touchdowns and overcome a fourth quarter deficit of 10 points or more versus Russell Wilson. Brady did it in the Super Bowl, so which was in the University of Phoenix Stadium, and that's where Murray performed his comeback. So Russell Wilson, 10-point-plus leads in the University of Phoenix Stadium is not a happy place.
Such a specific stat.
I know. And then it's also Kyler Murray's first career comeback from a 10-point-plus fourth quarter deficit to win a game. And he joins Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, Mitchell Trubisky, and Nick Foles as the only QBs to do so this season. Murray is the only one to do it in a game that went to overtime. Worth mentioning that two of those quarterbacks did it against the Atlanta Falcons back-to-back.
Yeah, Falcons are not in a good place right now.
Ah, okay, here's another one. Russell Wilson is listed at 5'11", Kyler Murray 5'10". It's the first game in the Super Bowl era where two quarterbacks under 6 feet tall have both passed for 250 yards or more. There you go. Lots of Kyler Murray love in stats this week.
Lots of Kyler Murray love in the stats. Well, there won't be any next week because he's on bye. So, Kyler, you've had your fill. If you're listening, enjoy your week off. See you in 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Rush Nation, as always, Tuesday's best day of the week. This has been tremendous, Murph. Guys, we would love some reviews on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, the Amazon Podcast now. Is that the thing? I think it is.
Amazon Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the podcasts, every single one of them. Just write a review everywhere. Just,
yeah, podcast review wherever. We want him.
I think, yeah, if you can just help us spread the word, spread the love, we'd really appreciate it. Some people have asked about guests this season. Just it's been a bit more difficult with not being in the studio and arranging times. A lot of people, not just ourselves, are struggling to get dates and times that work. But we will work on getting some and making those available at some point. But as you know, the train never stops. And if we don't get too many guests between now and the end of the season, then we will bring lots of guests in the off season and bring that A quality content. But I hope you've enjoyed the content that we have brought. We hope that you're winning games and winning championships. As I said at the start, this is the key part of the season now. So let's get to work. Let's get those wins. And let's dominate.
Absolutely. And we do have a Patreon. So if you fancy supporting the cause, you can head over to our website, 5yardrush.co.uk. There's a Patreon tag there. All our articles are there, which have been dropping every day. The guys are doing an absolutely sterling job. So much love to you, our writing staff. We appreciate each and every one of you, as we do you, Rush Nation. So, oh, spoiler alert, Murph and I are doing a bit of a crossover with the 5 Yard College Boys at some point this week. We're doing a mock draft, and shock horror, Green Bay Packers are going to get a wide receiver. But that's all I'm going to say. Until you hear us later on in the week, Rush Nation, Murph, you stay safe. And as always, Rush Nation, keep rushing.